Welcome to the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy, hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready, and featuring RebelGrove.com and Rivals.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast is your number one podcast dedicated to Ole Miss football and basketball recruiting.
Caution, you are about to enter the no-spin zone.
Featuring guests from throughout the Rivals.com network, the Soft Verbal Podcast tells you what is happening and what's going to happen on the recruiting trail, and it does it in style. Just like Dead Soxy.
I'm better looking than you.
Visit DeadSoxy.com and enter Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your order of the best dress socks you'll ever wear. Now here's your host, Neil McCready.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. I'm Neil McCready, your host. Russell Johnson, who you're here to hear, is here. Look at that. Three uses of the word here, different words right off the top. Russell is here. We'll talk recruiting momentarily. A lot of football recruiting. We might touch on basketball recruiting as signing day is today as you hear this. We're taping this on Tuesday, midday. You're hearing this on Wednesday. Signing day is today. No big surprises, I can tell you that, are expected on Ole Miss. No surprise defections, no surprise signees, just a very as expected signing day in Oxford. We'll talk some football recruiting, like I mentioned. We'll talk basketball recruiting, but first let me tell you about Dead Soxy. Socks are really cool right now, so stop spending money on koozies and pins and other stale company swag. Put your company logo on something that people will actually want, and that's custom dress socks. High-quality dress socks that you'll actually want to wear. I wear them every single day. They are, they're cool. They stay up. They feel great. They look great. They're awesome. We're going to be telling you guys about the college line coming out here in the next 24, 48 hours or so. You'll be able to hear that on the Oxford Exxon podcast. We'll tell you more about that next week on the Soft Verbal podcast. But for now, let me tell you about a real easy way to create a custom sock. Maybe it's a corporate giveaway, corporate Christmas present, whatever it may be. It's a great idea, and it's very simple. All you have to do is go to the deadsoxy.com website. That's deadsoxy.com. Click on Go Custom. You answer 8 questions to get the process started. It's really simple. So I did it while I was watching an NBA game, and it took me maybe a minute. Probably will take you less if you're smarter and more focused than me, which just simply requires a pulse to be that. You have to order 30 pairs minimum, which is a great deal because normally high-quality brands require that you order 100 pair or more to start a custom order. Dead Soxy lets you start at just 30 pairs. It takes about 4 weeks from the time the order is placed until you get your socks. It's easy. It's fast. It takes literally less than 5 minutes to get the process started. It's deadsoxy.com. Please go and check it out on their site. Site's a beautiful site. It's a great product. We've already gotten some feedback. Dead Soxy is the reason we're doing this podcast. I know that sometimes sounds kind of mean or whatnot. I don't mean for it to. It's just the truth. Dead Soxy sponsors the podcast. Without Dead Soxy, this podcast isn't happening. And I know you guys love it. We really appreciate it. So do us a favor. Order a pair of Dead Soxy socks. There's no risk. You get 25% off at checkout by entering promo code Rebel Grove. And if you don't absolutely love them, they'll send you your money back and you can keep the socks. I think you'll love them. In fact, I know you'll love them. So give it a shot. It's risk-free, and it's doing us a favor, and it's being good to some really good people at Dead Soxy who've been really good to us. DeadSoxy.com, promo code RebelGrove, get 25% off your order. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. Corey sends you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Super simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. There's no hassle. I've done it. It is exactly as advertised. I know many of you have done it, and it's exactly as advertised. You get right to the bottom line. You get there quickly. It's a very efficient car buying experience. Once you get your quote, you can shop it around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for me and so many others. It's just take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great vehicle, great service. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He'll take care of you. It's 662-257-1900. Tell him that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast or any of our other family of podcasts, and you'll save $500 off the already great bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It seems that Oxford and almost the entire South kind of skipped fall. It's pretty brisk this morning.
Even an Ohioan is calling this brisk. It's cold. I think it feels good. It's a little damp though. And everybody's getting sick.
Yeah. I would guess that would happen. That, and I mean, if it snowed right now, I'm not sure it wouldn't stick. And that would obviously shut down the town for the insurmountable future or the indefinite future.
Yeah, I was going to say it would be surmountable. We'd survive it. Yeah, there would be a panic.
There would be. And I mean, with everything going on with the playoffs and everything, this kind of weather kind of gets me excited about the end of football season and the season that's coming ahead of us, which
basketball?
No.
Oh,
recruiting.
That one.
Yes, and for Ole Miss, I mean, it's really going to start picking up next Friday when
it's also like duck season or deer season or something.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I've seen a bunch of like Snapchat videos and things like that with ducks and
I think
deer,
it's duck season. All my friends in Louisiana when I was a kid and stuff, they always wanted to go duck hunting, and I never went.
I've never.
It always sounded miserably wet and cold. Like I never understood. Like, how's that fun?
I guess when they get the game, I don't know. I've never understood it either.
And there's like snakes and stuff too, right?
Yeah, there's snakes all over the place. I couldn't do it. I've actually never been hunting, but
I haven't either.
Yeah,
that makes two of us.
Yeah, never.
I did shoot the little gun at the state fair to try to get the, you know, you shoot the water.
Yeah. You shoot the water into the hole,
and you try to win the teddy bear.
Yeah, you get it up to the top of the meter before everybody else does.
Yeah,
you didn't do it, did you?
I won once.
Oh, did you?
I did.
I've never won.
I got like a stuffed dog or something.
I continue to get ridiculed on social media, on the message board, for things I don't know and things I haven't seen. Apparently, you guys talked about Field of Dreams yesterday.
Yeah,
I've never seen that movie.
I don't understand how this happens. I mean, I really don't. I mean, that movie comes on. Have you ever seen Shawshank Redemption?
Yes, I love that movie.
Okay, thank God. Field of Dreams comes on every bit as much as Shawshank Redemption. How do you miss it?
I just turn the channel.
You've never been curious?
No, not really. I don't know. I've never been one to just sit down and put on movies and just have a good day. Have a day of it. I mean, it's just not something I would
really
do. I would rather, you know, either watch basketball, baseball, football, middle school football.
Yeah, that sixth grade running back from Topeka, he's gonna be so great, so exciting.
Yeah, that's kind of
that fourth grade point guard from Evansville. Oh my gosh, he's amazing.
He's got the skills, he's got
breaking
the tools.
Ankles. Yeah, he does. He has lots of tools. I mean, he's like 4-1 right now, so if you project him out, there's a chance. Oh, just think about that.
He's probably got stars on some site already.
I'm sure he does. It's very exciting. The romperroom.com site.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Something where, you know, those kind of areas and parts of the country, they'll accept credentials for anybody. I actually got denied credentials for the high school football game I wanted to go to on Friday in Ohio.
Really? Why?
They said that they don't allow recruiting services or anybody who does any type of recruiting to attend games. And I was,
you don't do recruiting.
That's what I said. That's what I said in the email. I was like, I don't think you understand. I work on a branch of Yahoo Sports. I cover these programs, and I'd like to talk to these kids. And they're like, well, we fear that you fit into one of these guidelines, so we're not going to grant your request.
So what are you going to do?
Pay for a ticket and go to the game.
And just ask to talk to them after.
Yep. Yeah. I know the head coach, so I mean, that shouldn't really be a problem.
It's interesting.
It's a pain, though. Have you ever had a problem with getting credentials in places?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're just now kind of overcoming that stigma, really. That's one of the reasons I fight the word, oh, you're a fan site. No, I don't want to do that because that's not good. Team site.
Exactly.
News outlet.
Yeah. media outlet.
Why are we not just a media outlet? I cover the program more than most, quote, newspapers, because they're trying to figure out how to survive.
Right. They spend more time trying to figure out different ways to acclimate to their customers and their brand while you're out there pushing out content and breaking stories.
Yeah, well, who were second? WTVA broke it.
Well, you were first on one last night.
I was. I probably pissed you off last night, didn't I?
You didn't piss me off. I was a bit concerned at the pushback that was going to take place, but
there really wasn't any.
No, there wasn't at all. And he was telling everybody.
Yeah, I mean, here's my thing. I'm totally serious here. I know I joke around a lot. Twofold. The first part's kind of a joke. If you're trying to keep a secret, telling everyone is not the best way. And then secondly, I don't know many people. I mean, I joke about it, but this is true. I don't have a lot of friends. When I'm getting 10 phone calls, direct messages, texts, that kind of stuff, about the same thing, citing the same group of people, it's not a secret anymore. And so at some point, you're a reporter. And I know people say, let the kid have his moment. And he will. He's going to have a press conference, and he'll have a photo opportunity, and he'll announce it in front of his friends and family, and everyone will clap. And everything's great for the kid. And everyone will take pictures with his family and his mom and his dad. And I don't know if he has siblings or not. Whatever, friends, coaches, all that stuff. That is his moment. His teammates will clap for him. And people will tell him, they'll come up to him and hug his neck and tell him how proud of him they are. And that's his moment. I didn't take away his moment. The fact that he's committing to Ole Miss is not a secret when... And this isn't a criticism of the kid or his dad or anybody, okay, at all. Because I'm a dad, too.
Right.
And I'd be super proud of my kid. And I'd tell everybody. So I get it. And if I was a kid and I had dreamed of being an SEC quarterback and I got an SEC offer and committed to an SEC program, I probably wouldn't be able to keep that to myself for 48 hours.
No.
So none of this is a criticism. But when it gets out like that, the whole, hey, let's keep this under wraps for 2 days is not realistic.
Yeah.
And at some point, I'm a reporter.
Right.
And so I'm going to report it.
Yeah, exactly. And
I didn't tweet it and all that stuff. I just put it on the board because that's
right.
People pay us for information, and that's information that was out there in the public domain, and I'm getting asked about it. Is it true? Is it true? Is it true? What's the point of denying it for 2 days or avoiding the question for 2 days when the answer is, yeah, it's true, and he's going to announce it on Wednesday at school?
Yeah. Well, actually, right now it's 10:50 on Tuesday morning. In about an hour and 20 minutes or so, he's going to go public with it.
Okay.
We're talking about Jackson Academy quarterback Kincaid Dent, who visited on Sunday, as everybody knows now, after hearing this and reading the stories all over RebelGrove.com. Chad will have an interview. I have an interview. And I also interviewed his quarterback trainer, David Morris, who is a friend of the MPW Digital Network.
Yes, we know David well.
Yes, and I got some quotes from him and talked to him, and you'll see a picture of one of my favorite NFL quarterbacks on the front page for a little bit, so that's
Joe Flacco?
No, this is an elite quarterback, Matt Ryan.
Oh.
Yes, he compared him. He didn't say that he matched every physical quality of talent that he ever had, but he did say that he saw some Matt Ryan in his game and some Carson Wentz and sees that as the ceiling, and he saw the floor as a SEC backup quarterback, which is something that Ole Miss needs. I mean, for a lack of better words, they need that badly.
Yeah, Jordan Tamu has 2 games left.
Yeah, and then it's
Matt Corral appears to be made of flesh and blood and bones. I mean, seems like a nice young man, nice looking young man, but I suspect that he has tendons and ligaments and bones like the rest of us. And you probably should go get another quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have Grant Tisdale over there in Allen, who's been committed for since, I think, April. Yeah, since April. And Tisdale has had a very impressive senior year from a stat standpoint, but I'm still not sure how he projects as an SEC quarterback. And I think that those worries may have gotten into the staff's ears as well.
Well, and here's the other thing, and there's no point in beating around this bush. I don't know what's going to happen with the coaching staff.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think it's conceivable that everyone is back. I cannot imagine. But it's conceivable that both coordinators are back. I don't think so, but it is possible. But if Phil Longo is not back as the offensive coordinator, it is certainly conceivable that Matt Luke will hire someone who's going to at least tweak their approach offensively.
Yes.
Perhaps overhaul their approach offensively.
Right.
And I don't know whether Tisdale, I'm sure that Ole Miss would honor his commitment. I don't know whether Tisdale would still want to come to Ole Miss if Phil Longo is not the offensive coordinator. I don't know what his other options are or are not. So you never stop recruiting. You right. always continue to recruit, and these things work their way out. And we're going to talk about quarterbacks and stuff in a little bit, but that's the thing. I'm not. I know there's a lot of debate out there. So by the time you hear this, his commitment's public. There's a lot of debate about whether Ole Miss should have taken a private school kid. Has he played the type of competition to judge whether he can play at this level or not? And the answer to that question is no, he hasn't played the type of competition that you need to play. But you're paid $3 million to make these evaluations. You evaluate. You project. The question is not whether Kincaid Dent can play in the SEC tomorrow. The question is, do you think in 24 months Kincaid Dent could play in the SEC? That's your question, and that's what you're paid to judge. And if you get it right, you keep your jobs, and if you don't get decisions like that right, you don't keep your jobs. That's just the reality.
Yeah, and in the recent history, Ole Miss has failed to offer in-state kids sort of like Dent, and they've gone on to have pretty good careers. I mean, you had – I don't know the situation behind Daryl Henderson. I know there were some grade issues there.
Yeah.
And then you had Jannard Avery.
That was a disaster.
You had Gardner Minshew. I don't know what happened there either.
Well, I do. We can get bogged down on it. I know his – because I covered his recruiting pretty hard until it became obvious that Ole Miss was not going to offer. He wanted to go to Ole Miss or State. Neither school offered. He went to East Carolina. Frankly, had a pedestrian career.
Yeah.
Was going to do, I don't know why that was or wasn't, I have no idea. Was going to do the grad transfer thing. I think was going to go to Alabama and be like the third or fourth team quarterback over there and basically start kind of learning how to coach.
Yeah. He was going to be a player coach.
I think that was going to be the plan. Garner's a great kid. Great kid. Tons of personality. Funny. Charismatic. I love his family. They're great people. At least they have been to me. So if you have a different opinion out there in internet land, that's yours. And then the Washington State thing happened, and I suspect, I don't know this, I've never talked to Garner or his family about it, but I suspect he said, oh, what the hell?
Right.
It's 1 year. Let's go see what happens.
Yeah.
And it's worked out swimmingly, which is awesome. I think Gardner Webb and Washington State, Gardner Webb, Gardner Minshew, and there is a school called Gardner Webb.
There is. It's in North Carolina.
Yeah. Gardner Minshew and Washington State are as good a story as there is in college football this year.
I agree.
They're a great story.
Yeah, especially after what happened with Washington State's starting quarterback killing himself in his dorm room. I mean, the whole situation and the way it unfolded and how Leach has been able to been able to have Minshew and be able to win the games that he wasn't winning in the past.
It just, I'm happy for those kids.
Yeah.
I watch Washington State play and I'm happy for those kids. That's it. I'm happy for Gardner.
Right.
And I'm happy for those kids. I don't know those kids.
Yeah.
But I'm happy for those kids. I'm sure that was a traumatic experience. I'm sure many of them lost a friend and suicide's brutal. And I cheer for those kids. That's the team. I mean, I joke around about ULM and about Northwestern and stuff. But I cheer for Washington State as much as anybody this year because they're just a good story. It's a heartwarming story. It's a redemption story on a lot of levels. And Mike Leach is fun.
Yeah.
I'd love nothing more than for Mike Leach to be an SEC head coach because he would drive people insane. These hardcore SEC media types, he would drive them crazy because even if, let's say he coached at Ole Miss, and Ole Miss lost by 10 to Auburn on Saturday. On Monday, if it's Halloween week, he's still going to talk about trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
For a long time. It's going to drive people, and it would drive people insane. I would love it. I would giggle and find it amusing and probably get run out with him. But I would find it fun.
Right. And I think that, I mean, getting off track a little bit, but the Monday press conference, at least for Ole Miss, I covered it yesterday. It's become a part two of the post-game press conference. There's so many questions being asked that you could have asked on Saturday. You could have asked on Saturday.
Should have asked on Saturday.
Yeah, you should have asked on Saturday. And
did that happen again yesterday? I didn't go.
Yeah, they're wasting people's time. I mean, yeah, you may have watched the film just as much as McGriff did, but I guarantee you McGriff saw a whole lot more on the film than you did.
Well, the Monday press conference is supposed to be a look ahead.
Exactly.
It's supposed to be talking big picture stuff and all that. It's just become a dissection of the previous game.
Yeah.
And it's also become questions being asked by people who aren't using it for media opportunities. I don't know why they're there. And I'll be honest, I didn't go last week. I'm not going to go next week. I might not go to them anymore. I don't need them for my coverage.
Right. It becomes irrelevant.
If I want access to the stuff, it's all out there for me. Ole Miss does a fantastic job of loading the video, of transcribing the quotes. I get it. I had gotten to where at the, and I'm not calling names because I don't care. It's fine. I had gotten to where the Monday press conference to me had become uncomfortable.
Yeah, I could understand that because you could feel the tension between coaches and some of the quote media members unquote.
Well, yeah. Well, they're there as media members, so they're media members, and there's been a grilling of McGriff and here lately of Longo.
Yeah, but the
Longo stuff almost is beginning to feel personal, and I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. But the one
thing, I don't know Phil personally.
Right,
he seems like a nice person. I don't know him on a personal level. I don't know McGriff on a personal level. I don't know, but some of the grilling lately has begun to feel, I don't know, borderline unfair. If you want, I think those questions are appropriate on Saturday,
right?
And they don't get asked; they get asked on Monday after you've had time to Monday morning quarterback. And I don't know that I like that, but anyway, it's beside the point.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that
the media landscape has changed, it continues to evolve, it continues to change, and so there will be people who say, well, I think you should go to the Monday press conference. You know, if I have a question to ask that's forward related, I will. I don't know. I've gotten to where I go to those Monday press conferences, I don't ask anything, and I'm starting to ask myself, why are you here?
Yeah, I mean, especially because you could ask the same questions on Monday, on Tuesday.
Well, yeah. It's, you know, and we get mad again on Wednesday,
where
he's had more time to look at Vanderbilt in this case and prepare for Vanderbilt and a better idea about, you know, this case, what's the story? Is Scottie Phillips going to play? We'll have a better idea on Wednesday than he will on Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
And to Matt's credit, has always been kind of an open book about stuff, and he'll answer it. So, I don't know. I think those some of the traditional press conference type stuff has become unnecessary.
Yeah, I can agree with that. The only thing that came out of yesterday was the fact that a couple of the coaches, because they have a short week playing Saturday night and then playing again Thursday night, they're going to fly a couple of the coaches back instead of taking the bus and a lot of the message board. They took some exception to it, but at the same time, they'll spend that extra hour, 2 hours, you know, uploading the film and basically starting to prepare for Mississippi State in a game that I wouldn't say they're going to be overmatched, but they're not going to be favored. They're going to be underdogs pretty significantly.
All right, we'll get to the recruiting in just 1 second. Look, it's 4 hours to Nashville. It's 4 hours. I've made the trip many times.
Yeah.
It's 4 hours. The game is at 6:30. It's going to be over at 10. They're going to get out of there about 11:15. If you were to drive to the Nashville airport, unload the bus, load the plane, take the plane off, you probably have to fly to Tupelo. You'd have to get them off the plane in Tupelo, onto another bus, and bus the 50 minutes to Ole Miss. You might save 30 minutes. The whole they're being cheap by busing back from Nashville thing is just people bitching to bitch.
Yeah.
It's 4 hours. It's not that bad. They'll have a police escort. They'll sleep. They're not going to get home and practice at 1:15 in the morning. They're going to sleep. They're going to get on the bus. They're going to get to their places, and they're going to go sleep, and they'll have their Sunday. And instead of having a Monday off, they'll have Monday. They'll have Tuesday. They'll do a walkthrough thingy on Wednesday, and then they'll play the football game on Thursday. That's reality.
Yeah.
State has a slight advantage this year because State plays Arkansas at home, I think, in the early part of the day.
Is I believe right? so.
State plays Arkansas at home, and they'll have more recovery time. Ole Miss played a home game last year, I think.
Yeah, kickoff's at 11 a.m. at Davis Wade.
Yeah. So that's advantage State, and it's a fairly significant advantage, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Had you been Ole Miss, you would have preferred that the Vanderbilt game be at 11 a.m. You'd rather play early.
Yeah, and instead it's, you said 6:30, so.
All right, so let's get to it. I don't want to do this too often because the mailbag questions are supposed to be mailbag questions. They're not supposed to be Russell questions, but I'll do it this one time.
Well, Swag asked so many questions, you really don't have a choice unless you want to answer recruiting questions.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to start ignoring them.
Yeah. We can do that.
No, too. It's okay. He's good. I like him. He's a good guy. All right. He wants to know, he's got a lot of questions about N'Kobe Dean. Here they are. I'll let you answer them as one, as opposed to doing 30 minutes on N'Kobe Dean.
Yes.
Why is Ole Miss not in it on N'Kobe Dean? What doesn't he like? Does he want to get out of Mississippi? Does he just not like the school or the coaches or the team? Does he think it's a bad school? Does his family not like it? Is it that he wants to play? And Swag's answering a lot of his questions himself.
I know.
Does he want to play for the top football teams in the South and not build one? And then he wants to know about Perkins and what's a fake offer.
So first I'll go over the fake offer situation. A cornerback from Hattiesburg who's committed to Southern Miss last night decided to tweet out an Ole Miss offer that either he thought he had or somebody had told him he had. I had gotten confirmation from the head coach, Tony Vance, at Hattiesburg that offer was non-existent. And then I believe the offer has since been taken down. But the whole situation that kind of didn't irritate me but was kind of confusing was the fact that I had put it on the message board, and obviously like I do when anybody gets a new offer, and I hadn't been able to get it confirmed. So as soon as I realized that there was a chance that it wasn't a legit offer, I took it down. And then after I took it down, he took it down. But before doing that, you know, he was going back and forth, and it really seemed as if somebody was either pretending to be a coach on the Ole Miss staff, or maybe he was just so confused about something, because that is the definition of a fake offer, is when a kid tweets out an offer that either isn't committable or doesn't even exist. There's obviously a difference between the committable offer and not having an offer at all. You know, not having an offer at all is when a kid is, you know, kind of starting to blow up, and you'll see a ton of schools at one time go all in and offer, and you'll see him tweet them out. And when he tweets those out, a lot of times, especially for underclassmen, in this case, Perkins is a senior, but in terms of underclassmen, what they're doing is they're, you know, hey, come check out our school. Come check out, you know, come camp with us. Come work out. We want to see what you can do. We like what we saw on film. And a lot of it also is just making sure that they're able to get in the mix and not get too far behind. Ole Miss has gotten behind in the past, and I thought with Perkins what was taking place when I saw the offer was that he was going to start accumulating offers, but that didn't take place. The offer was deleted, and I, to be honest with you, I kind of feel embarrassed for the kid. Now getting to N'Kobe Dean and all of those questions about why he's not going to Ole Miss, I think there's it's a multitude of things, but the main part is you know, he's a great player. He's not going to single-handedly change the defense. He knows that. He sees the Ole Miss defense. He sees the scheme. He sees the progression of the linebackers. And you know, maybe I know for a fact that him and John Sumrall have a really good relationship, but relationships don't really matter when you're on the field giving up 500 yards a game and you have, how many SEC wins does Ole Miss have this year?
So far one. They beat Arkansas.
Okay. Yeah. So you have one SEC win this year, and the programs you're competing against, such as Alabama and Georgia, I mean, they're getting ready to meet in December in Atlanta for the SEC championship. And then you've also got LSU, who has completely overachieved this year with quarterback Joe Burrow and head coach Ed Orgeron. So you've got these programs who are on the upward climb, and you've got Ole Miss. And what Ole Miss has to be careful with right now is stagnation. You don't want to get so stagnant that these in-state kids just see you kind of just floating along the Mason-Dixon line. And you want to show them that you're progressing, that things are changing, and that, you know, mediocrity isn't acceptable. And with that being said, Nakobe officially visited Georgia over the weekend, had really good things to say about Georgia, kind of compared them to Alabama in a way, which kind of surprised me, especially when, you know, Georgia's been the thought to be longtime leader for him. But with that being said, he's going to Alabama for the Iron Bowl. He's going to LSU for an official visit in December. He's going to Texas A&M this weekend. I mean, he's going to all of these schools who either have new blood and are, like I said, trending upward or are consistently contending for national championships. I mean, that should be the easiest thing for somebody to see as to why Ole Miss isn't really in it. I mean, obviously his family likes it. His brother's here. Do I think Ole Miss should offer him a scholarship if it means that they get Nakobe? No, because like I said, Nakobe is the best player in the state, and he is the best player in the state since Cam Akers, which isn't saying too much. I mean, that's only been 2 years. But Dean is not going to single-handedly change a program. He may show you that you can win on an elite recruit in the Memphis area, which doesn't happen. But other than that, like I said, he's not going to change a program. He wants to go on a play for a defense where, you know, he's not going to be the only guy. People aren't going to see a coverage bust and automatically be like, Nakobe, you're the number one linebacker in the country. Why didn't you make that play? Do you know what I mean?
So where's he going?
Georgia or Alabama?
Percent chance that Ole Miss gets him.
One.
Okay. All right. I agree with your philosophy on this. To the guy who says, well, if Ole Miss is out of it, why are you still covering him? What is your response?
There's still that 1% chance. His brother's still on the team. He's still 40 minutes from Oxford. I mean, it's kind of like the DJ Jeffrey situation where we would keep tabs on it, but we wouldn't really post about it until we had thought that Ole Miss had made a push, and they did make a push. They made a real push. I don't even see Ole Miss being able to make that same kind of push with Nakobe. They have the family. The mom likes Ole Miss, and they're here all the time. But they're not here for him. You know what I mean? They're here to see his brother.
Do they love him just as much?
You say what?
Do they love him just as much?
I mean, you'd hope so.
He's not as good of a football player, though.
I mean, I don't.
Shouldn't you determine the way that you treat your children based on how good of a football player they are?
That would be bad parenting. That would be something that you would see. I mean, I'm not trying to sound racist, but that's something you would see in the state of Mississippi. And you would see in the southern part of the United States.
No, you wouldn't. I'm being completely silly. You wouldn't see that. No one judges their kids by what kind of athletes they are.
They don't come in and out depending on how good or...
Well, you're referring to broken homes and such.
Yeah.
I mean... But I don't know that that's. I don't know that that's part of. That's a southern thing any more than it's that happens all over the country. That happens.
Yeah.
That happens everywhere. That happens, and that happens in multiple racial backgrounds as
yes,
well.
I mean, exactly.
That's not limited to one demographic. That would happen everywhere.
Yes, and it does. It does happen everywhere.
I mean, I was being totally facetious.
Yeah,
obviously,
I was too.
Obviously, Nakobe Dean's parents love the kids evenly. If you've ever had multiple children, you know that you can't pick a favorite. That's not possible.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I think Alabama and Georgia still have equal footing, which is kind of weird. At one point, Georgia was the go-away leader, but until Alabama either takes the Hawaiian linebacker who they're leading for, or Georgia flips Owen Popo from Auburn, there's going to be some pushing and some shoving between the two schools, figuratively, of course, as to, you know, who's the leader and who's going to be able to get him. He's not going to announce before December 19th, which is something that I've been trying to tell everybody, but everybody wanted to ask, you know, hey, if N'Kobe doesn't commit to Georgia this weekend, does that mean Ole Miss is still in it? It baffles my mind, the lack of reading comprehension some people have. And with that being said, N'Kobe's down to the list of LSU, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Auburn, Alabama, and Georgia.
And ULM. So good for him. So it's either going to be Alabama, Georgia, or ULM. Ole Miss has the 1% chance.
Yes.
That's bottom line.
Yeah, but I'm going to continue to cover it.
Okay. So you've cut out the lattes, you've put in those Curly Q light bulbs, you've brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday keeps getting here a day or two late, a few $100 short. Well, try this. Give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call. Tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve, like 10% for being a good driver, another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student, and 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up, and it's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi, a call at 662-539-7062. Because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state. All right, so we've talked about Kincaid Dent. We've talked about two quarterbacks.
Yes.
Anything changes on KJ Jefferson?
I would say you should keep an eye more so currently on Grant Tisdale than I would KJ Jefferson. They're still going to recruit KJ Jefferson as an athlete and a quarterback. I mean, obviously, being recruited as an athlete to KJ isn't the most attractive thing, but everybody knows that he projects the quarterback. But at the same time, Ole Miss is going to take three quarterbacks. So they're not exactly, you know, pushing and holding on to Grant Tisdale with everything they have, but they're not going to drop him either because, number one, Tisdale's a four-star quarterback from Allen, Texas. And number two, that's just not what you do with, you know, high-rated kids, especially in that area.
Jefferson, if Grant Tisdale called today and said, I'm thinking about switching, they're not going to try to talk him out of it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they would wish him luck and thank him for everything.
Okay. They would go after KJ or they'd go after somebody else?
They'd go after KJ and they'd go after a couple of others who they're talking to.
Okay. All right. You want to talk about the fight for the second running back spot.
Yes. And that...
Is it like a real fight?
I wish. That would be interesting.
Because that would be fun to cover.
If you could see Snoop Connor, Eric Gray, and Breece Hall in a cage match, that I would pay to see that. But
well, by the end of it, you might not have a running back left. I mean, they might all hurt each other.
It'd be worth the risk for me, at least. Breece received his, I don't know what they're calling that All-American game in San Antonio these days, the All-American Bowl, I guess, jersey. He's playing in that game. Okay. Eric Gray's playing in that game.
Okay.
Hall is currently rated a 2-star on Rivals, which causes some uproar every time you bring up his name. He still plans to sign in December, and he's currently committed to Iowa State. So seeing as all of those factors are going into play, as soon as his senior season comes to an end, his visits are going to start taking place, and Ole Miss plans to get one of those. Ole Miss also is still talking to Snoop Connor from Hattiesburg. He's committed to Memphis. He's signing early. He's enrolling early. And all of his intentions, even if Ole Miss comes into play currently, according to him, are that he will sign with Memphis and go to Memphis. Memphis has been loyal to him. He's been loyal to Memphis. And I guess in terms of Connor's recruitment, he plans to stay loyal to them. The third running back I mentioned, Eric Gray, he plays a pretty good defense this year in CPA with Kane Patterson, the linebacker, formerly committed to Ohio State, now committed to Clemson, who some people thought was an Ole Miss target, was never really realistic. Seeing Gray against a competitive defense is going to be interesting. Right now, I see him trending towards Tennessee more than Ole Miss, and that is worrisome for Ole Miss because I wouldn't say they put all their eggs in the basket, but they're recruiting three running backs who are all committed to other schools. That's risky. I mean, yeah, Michigan's not really in it for Eric Gray, even though he's verbally committed there. But you're recruiting three running backs. You need two. You have Ely committed. Ely's not signing until February. With Ely not signing until February, you want to sign one in December. One of those three, you would hope, will flip.
So they're signing Ely, who's going to play baseball, and then they could go 0 for 3 on the other three.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Which would be a mess.
Yes.
Because then, you think Gray's going to Tennessee.
Yes.
You think the Iowa State kid's probably going to stick to his Iowa State commitment?
I think if Gray doesn't go to Tennessee, that's where he's going to go. And then there's also some other schools in that part of the country.
Okay, but if Gray does go to Tennessee, where will he go?
Either Iowa State or Ole Miss.
Okay. And then who's and the third kid, he goes?
He's planning on going to Memphis.
Okay.
Going 0 for 3 would be disastrous. And with
Scotty Phillips is a senior.
Yeah.
Woolard. Yeah. Thanks. Has actually looked pretty good, but you got to have more than that. There's no other running backs on the roster.
Yeah. I mean, you have Swinney, but
yeah,
Swinney's,
bless his heart.
Yeah.
I mean, he gives him everything he's got, but.
It's going to be tough.
The part of the Ely thing that I'm in the minority on this. I know he's a great player. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
He's going to play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I understand signing Ely. I don't understand counting him in your mind as one of your running backs.
Yeah.
Because he's never coming.
I'm not sure if they count him, but he's going to count as an initial scholarship loss when they sign him in February.
Yeah. It's
I think that in the end is what prevents Clemson from flipping him is because of the loss of an initial. You get 25 initials each class, as everybody knows.
Yeah, and it's good for a year when you sign it.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if you don't come.
Right. And if he signs that, that's one scholarship less that they have to give to Corvarus Couch or Tyler Davis or any of their other targets they have remaining on the board.
All right. Who are the candidates for the final wide receiver spot?
This is going to be interesting as the December signing day and February signing day approach because they seem to be casting a wide net as to what they're going to do with the last receiver spot. They want to either get a grad transfer, such as Jonathan Nance from Arkansas, a Gulfport native, who has taken visits to Missouri and a couple other schools. He doesn't seem close to a decision like several thought he was. Ole Miss could very well get into the picture with him. I know that Peeler has been in contact with him. And then there's also the new receiver who I've been talking to and has been hearing from Ole Miss quite a bit is Blinn College in Texas wide receiver Kierick Wheatfall, who doesn't really have the offer sheet that you would expect for somebody with the stats that he's been able to put up in JUCO this year. Outside of that, you've kind of got to wait and see still who decides to, you know, make a move or goes the JUCO route or things like that. The other target who they were interested in, at least were kind of flirting around with, Melky Stovall from JUCO in California, committed to Hawaii last night. So I would say that one's done too.
Update on Charles Cross?
Charles Cross is another one of these kids who is committed to an out-of-state school in the Mississippi-Memphis area down in Laurel, but I don't see him signing with that school. I see them being third in the pecking order right now between both Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Mississippi State has hosted Cross for a visit recently. They were thought to be trending. Ole Miss thinks that they're trending as well. And Florida State really seems to be kind of out of the picture right now. Cross is going to take his officials. He's going to sign early in December and kind of go from there. With Cross and Ole Miss, the offensive line situation is dynamic at best because you've got Broker, you've got Caleb Etienne, who we talked about last week. You've got eight offensive linemen committed, but you're still recruiting both Charles Cross and Rocky Itogi.
Did you ever find out his wife's name?
It is not Adrian.
Nah.
He was so confused. The poor kid. When I asked him, I was like, "So your wife's name's Adrian, right?" And he's like, no, why? And I was like,
oh, come on. No one had ever asked him before.
That's what I said. I was like, you don't get that all the time? And he said, no. I said, your nickname's Rocky. And he said, yeah, Rocky the Ruler. And I was like, not Rocky from the movie? And he was like, No.
Oh, come on. He knew about the Rocky movies.
Yeah, he knows about the Rocky movies.
Okay, because at that point he's doing like Nick Saban. Oh, there's an election today? Stop. Stop it, Nick.
Muschamp did that too.
Yeah, it's stupid. Rocky knows there's a Rocky movie, right? Yeah. I mean, he gets it.
Yeah, and then sadly his kids are not named Apollo.
I mean, I'll forgive that, although it's a complete blown opportunity.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you the questions that would be asked to that kid in school, is your dad's name Rocky?
Yeah, see, if Rocky had named his kids Apollo and Clubber, I'd be so into that. That'd be awesome. What's his deal, Rocky's football deal?
He's still on decommitment watch. He's committed to Arizona. He's got official visits scheduled to New Mexico.
Chase probably wants to know if a chancellor could come with him. Like if they flipped an Arizona commitment, could they also take the chancellor at the same time? That's what Chase wants.
I'm sure he does.
That's his boy. He's in campaign mode.
I've noticed. Did he get the buttons yet?
He's working on it. Robbins 2019.
That's going to be interesting to see take place. I literally have
Chase's
no idea.
Blow up Santa in the front yard. It doesn't say ho, ho, ho. It says vote for Robbins. Vote for Robbins. Vote for Robbins.
Oh,
this could
man.
Be so confusing to kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It would be. They would have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Like I said, Rocky doesn't have an official visit scheduled to the school he's committed to.
Chase's little girl, they're not even letting her like go sit in Santa Claus's lap this year. They're going to take her out to Tucson and sit in Santa Robin's lap.
That would be something. He would be able to put that picture on his refrigerator for years to come.
Look, CA, this is the real Santa Claus. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But Arizona's become kind of worried that they're going to lose the commitment of Itoge. And yeah. I've gotten the vibe from Itoge that he does not plan on signing with Arizona.
Okay.
He's both an early signee and early enrollee, which we can get into as well.
Let's get into that, because you're expecting 10 early enrollees.
Yes.
And you're expecting them to sign at least 24 players in the early period.
Yes, it's going
to
be busy.
So what will that mean for February? What will be left?
There will be target shooting. And you'll have Ladarius Cox, the defensive lineman from McGill Toolin in Mobile, committed to Tennessee. You'll have Jaron Handy, who isn't signing until February. You'll have J.D. Bertrand, the inside linebacker from Blessed Trinity in Roswell, Georgia, who was dropped by Georgia and visited Wisconsin last weekend and has heard from TCU, Florida, Ole Miss. There's several schools in the picture for him. Then you've got both Ohio kids who I'm still going to try to find a way to finesse my way onto the field for that game, Maslin versus Wadsworth on Friday, and Jameer Thomas, the linebacker, and the tight end, Trayvon Morgan. Of those two, I would say Trayvon Morgan is the much more likely candidate for a commitment to Ole Miss. He's not really keen on leaving the state of Ohio. He still wants that Ohio State offer. But once those kids realize that offer isn't coming, things will pick up quickly with him. And then you've also got the Ely situation, which we talked about. But other than that, I mean, the rest of the commitments plan on signing early. They're really not sure on what Jalen Stanley or Jonathan Mingo are going to do. I'm not sure they realize that you can sign in December and not enroll in January. So once these kids kind of get a better concept and a grasp of how that goes and what it means, I guess, we'll kind of get a better picture of what they plan on doing. Mingo plans to officially visit Mississippi State as well as possibly Georgia, who is still recruiting him, while Stanley is really just kicking the can down the road as far as he can to see if anything else comes in.
Lentz and Little PA is Central and South Mississippi's law firm you want to hire for business advice and commercial litigation. Whether you're having trouble paying your debts or someone isn't paying you what they agreed to pay, Lentz and Little can quickly advise you of your best course of action. Lentz and Little has more than 60 years of collective experience representing companies and individuals in defaulted loan workouts, collections, repossessions, and foreclosures. Representing banks as well as companies having financial difficulties, Lentz & Little offers creative solutions to financial problems. Attorneys at Lentz & Little have the versatility you need, regardless of whether you need help with general business advice, issues with payment of taxes or representation in state court, federal court, or bankruptcy court. If you're in need of advice or assistance with your financial situation, call Jarrett Little at 228-867-6050. Visit their website at lentzlittle.com. That's L-E-N-T-Z, littl.com or call or email Jarrett, J-A-R-R-E-T-T, at LenceLittle.com. All right. Ole Miss recruiting a lot in the state of Tennessee. They obviously recruit Memphis without much success. They're recruiting the state of Tennessee as well. I'll ask the Memphis question without just going down that rabbit hole too far. That's got to get addressed. It's got to be one of the questions Matt Luke has asked immediately following the football season is, do you anticipate doing better there? What do you have to do better there? I would think that that's a priority for that staff. I don't know that. It's a question that has to get asked.
It does.
It's really going to be an uncomfortable postseason press conference type stuff. It's
when will that take place?
I don't know. I don't know whether he'll want to do one that Monday after because he'll be out on the road recruiting. It's going to get busy.
Yes.
It's the weird part about everybody goes clean house, clean house, clean house. Here's the problem with cleaning house is once you fire the people, they're done.
Yeah.
And now who do you put out on the recruiting trail? Because that Monday, really before that, it's starting the next day. The day after the Egg Bowl, whether you win it or lose it, is a big recruiting day. You're out at these high school games. You're out recruiting. And that next week, you're on the road. I mean, you got everybody on the road.
Yeah.
You got to be careful about making a bunch of decisions when you can't bring people in, and yet there is a fan expectation of a lot of change. So, anyway, what does recruiting in the state of Tennessee look like right now for Ole Miss?
Well, in the class of 2019 – I mean, they had their chance with Cam Wynn from Chattanooga. They've had their chance with several in the city of Memphis. They kind of were interested in some of the kids in Nashville. A lot of the kids in Nashville tend to be a little bit overhyped. I can say that. Some of the kids, Trey Knox, I mean, there's several of them over there who, you know, their recruitment picks up really quickly early. And like I was talking about earlier, you know, they get those – we just want to be in the mix offers. And then when they go to those schools and try to commit, they're not able to. And when that happens with those kids, that's when strained relationships take place. But you don't see the University of Tennessee giving out those kind of offers to in-state kids, kind of like you don't see Ole Miss giving out those kind of offers to in-state kids who they may or may not end up taking because you never want to drop an in-state kid. But in the city of Memphis and in the state of Tennessee, what needs to be addressed is, number one, who's going to be recruiting that area? Number two, how often can they get there? How can they build the relationships? How often are they going to be talking to the coaches? What players are they going to target in the class of 2020? Because there is far, far, far less talent in the state of Mississippi for 2020 than there is in 2019. It's almost an exponential drop-off. And because there's going to be between 20 and 30 kids signing with high-level programs in December and February for 2019, and I could see that number being as low as 15 in next year's class. So being able to prioritize Tennessee and maybe get some of those kids from Nashville, get those kids from Brentwood and those schools in that area where you have the ties, like Ensworth, where you have Tyler Barron, and you've got these names who, you know, they've got tons of talent in that area for the class of 2020 and beyond, but things have to change and a priority has to be shown.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's an issue. It's one they have to address. I don't think Ole Miss can be successful and have no success in Memphis. I don't think the two go hand in hand. Not routinely. I mean, it's the biggest major market close to you, and it typically produces talent, and you have to get some of that talent.
Yeah. I mean, in the class of 2020, there is still unreal. I mean, you've got four franchise caliber offensive tackles just in that city alone in next year's class. I wouldn't say franchise caliber, but four-star higher.
Kids that project as being able to play at this level.
Yes, early and often.
I mean, some of the hype stuff is bothers me, but – when you look at a kid and you say, can he play at the SEC level? And the answer is yes. And the next question is, can he play early? And the answer is yes. Well, then those are the kind of kids you got to go get.
Yeah.
You can't let those kids get away routinely I mean, you're not going to get them all. No one's going to dominate recruiting, but everybody comes in, and you got to get your share. And if you don't, if you go 0-for in an entire metropolitan area over a period of years, something's wrong.
Right, and I expect that to be addressed in December.
All right, we talked about N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that.
Yes.
The linebacker board continues to shift. It's a critical position.
Yeah, and there are several December signees on the board which would go hand-in-hand with Dean, just like the February ones would. Victor Vermontes from Riverside, California, the quarterback turned linebacker that everybody talks about. He was thought to, you know, kind of be Ole Miss's to lose, and then you see Nebraska come into the picture. Oregon's going to come into the picture. You see these other schools coming into the picture that you didn't really expect, and that should be worrisome for Ole Miss. Mikel Jones from IMG officially visited Syracuse over the weekend. That went really well. Some people I talked to at Syracuse were kind of optimistic that they thought he might commit early and kind of shut it down. I haven't heard that from Jones's camp or anything like that, but the optimism and the encouragement that Syracuse felt they received during Jones' visit was something noteworthy, at least. Jeremiah Jean-Baptiste from South Dade, Florida, the two-star linebacker committed to Central Florida, his recruitment is still picking up as well. LSU, Mississippi State, and a couple others are kind of fishing around there as well. None of them have offered yet like Ole Miss did. He's planning on taking an official at the end of this month, just like Mikel is. I believe Vermontes will as well. All of those kids could potentially be on the field when spring ball starts, and that's important for Ole Miss to get additional help at that position for the immediate future, but also going forward, which is why you still have the February targets who we just talked about in J.D. Bertrand and Jameer Thomas, as well as possibly Kendall Young.
As we start to wrap things up, the Mississippi-Alabama game,
yeah,
coming up in December. There's going to be a lot of kids there. I know you're going to go down for a day of practice. You didn't know that until today, but you know now.
Hey, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, you've not been there. It's a pretty good setup. It's a little disorganized at times, but you can get what you want. You know the kids.
Yeah.
You were telling me about 10 targets on the Mississippi team, maybe one on the Alabama team?
Yeah, I mean, they have Patrick Lucas committed from Wetumpka, who is a defensive lineman who they're really high on and excited to see what he does in that game and what he's able to do when he gets to campus. Other than that, on the Mississippi side of things, I mean, it is an all-star team, but like it really looks like an all-star team because there's several of the Under Armour All-Americans in the game that will be taking place in Montgomery. You've got Jaron Handy, you've got Charles Moore, you've got Brandon Turnage, Jerrion Jones. I mean, you've got all of these kids in the same area at the same time. It's going to be interesting, number one, to see who is doing the recruiting of the group and what takes place in terms of the kids who are committed to out-of-state schools, you know, like Plumlee is, like Handy is, like I mentioned. I mean, you've got these kids who are committed to schools out-of-state and seeing what happens with them. And also something that I mentioned in our notes a little bit does anybody not play to risk injury? I mean, just a week ago, you know, we had the kid from Greenville tragically lost his life making a play on a tackle. I mean, he didn't die instantly. You know, he was on a respirator. They did CPR on the field and all of that took place.
Have you seen that film?
No.
I haven't either. Wondered what.
I don't think Madison Central uploaded it, and I didn't look at Greenville's.
But yeah, just tragic.
It is
just a tragedy.
It is, and it makes me wonder if you see some of these kids who are committed to high level programs who may not have been invited to those All American games that take place after this one, or maybe they do, and maybe they take the time to, you know, kind of sit down and think about the risk of playing in these games. I know we've got that problem. It's becoming an epidemic in college football where you've got kids either leaving school early, such as the Bosa brothers at Ohio State, and then you've got Leonard Fournette who sat out a bowl game. I mean, you've got these situations taking place, and I'm curious as to when it's going to start happening at the high school level.
Yeah, matter of time probably. All right. Last, you talked about the game in Ohio. You're going up there this weekend.
Yes.
It's going to be cold. You gonna be okay?
Yeah. I'll
no
be
tornadoes
all right.
though.
That's right.
And then the last thing, let's touch on basketball before we go. We talked about on it early. No surprises expected. They're going to sign the four guys.
Yeah.
It's a really good class. A lot of people are viewing the Chandler Lawson thing as a disappointment, and to some degree it is. What's the kind of the closure there?
Well, the closure is that they're unless they play Georgia Tech in an NIT or NCAA tournament avenue, they're not going to have to see him. I mean, they'll be able to maybe keep track of his development, but I doubt they're even interested in that. But seeing the Lawson family go, not by the wayside, but kind of move on from that, because then you don't have to worry about potentially holding a spot for his brother as a grad transfer. You don't have to give preferential treatment to his little brother who's a point guard at Wooddale. You don't have to do those things, and you kind of can, I wouldn't say freedom, but you have the ability to recruit in ways you may not have been able to at his position and at in other avenues if you would have taken him. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think some of that is a degree of spin, but it's a degree of spin that I can buy, and I agree with it.
Oh, I mean, Chandler Lawson's a loss.
On one level, Chandler Lawson is a very good player.
Yes.
And you want to sign very good players when you have an opportunity to sign very good players.
Right. Ole Miss can't be turning down top 100 players.
And they didn't.
No, exactly.
But can you find a silver lining? Sure. And here's where it comes down to. This class was always going to be about adding some quality players. And I think the kid from the Bahamas, Hunter, is going to be a star. The JUCO guard can really shoot it. They're bringing in players. It's the next class after it's Sean Robinson's class, frankly.
Yes.
It's that class, Brakefield. Can they get one of those guys? Can they get both of those guys? Can they get one of those guys? Can they get that kind of player?
Right.
In his second full class. Because if you can't, then you have to start saying, okay, truthfully, maybe you just can't recruit at that level here and you have to do it a different way. But if you can, well, then you start talking about the program in a different light. And so, to me, it's always been far more interesting to talk about and to think about and to evaluate what's going to happen with Sean Robinson and Brakefield than it is what was going to happen with Chandler Lawson. And that's not a knock on Chandler.
Right.
But those guys are potentially high impact players immediately.
Yeah, I can agree with that, especially Brakefield, who's a five-star in Rivals. Robinson is still listed a three-star right now in Arizona. I actually put a future cast in for him, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, for Ole Miss to land him after his visit. They feel very confident, and I feel confident as of that time and as of right now.
I put one in for ULM, but they kept taking it out. What I did, because I just thought, let's get ahead of this, is I went through the Rivals 250 in football and put ULM for everyone. And then I went through the Rivals top 100 in basketball and I put ULM for everyone. And I got some pushback saying they can't sign all 100. And I said, well, I realize that, but a lot of them will walk on. And so there's, I don't know, I'm upset at Rivals right now because they eliminated that and took away my privileges.
That's all right.
It's a matter of time before the ULM's won five in a row now.
In which sport?
Football. We destroyed South Alabama the other night. Destroyed them. I mean, we almost beat Ole Miss, and after that, we've gone on a roll.
Almost.
Yeah. If you go back and look at the fourth quarter of the ULM Ole Miss game, you can tell that had we just gotten – maybe spend a little less time studying Saturday morning and just a little more time resting and meditating, we would have gotten off to a better start because we dominated the final 3 or 4 minutes of that game. We just ran out of time.
I think that's the game Nicholas Dean played in.
Well, that might explain why N'Kobe is going to shock the world, because I think Nicholas Dean probably told N'Kobe, man, ULM, those last few minutes. And N'Kobe's like, yeah. That's real. And N'Kobe likes to water ski.
Does he?
That's what I heard. Sources.
There you go.
Yep. So Anyway, that does it for us. That's this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. Check out Dead Soxy. It's deadsoxy.com. Don't forget, it's the best dress socks you'll ever wear. They look fantastic. There's a college line coming soon. I'll be telling you about it on the Oxford Exxon podcast. You'll love it. It's great. They stay up. They stay cool. They're just a fantastic product, and it's risk-free for you. Order them. Enter promo code Rebel Grove at checkout. You get 25% off, and if you don't love them, they'll give you your money back, and you can keep the socks. DeadSoxy.com. Our thanks to them. Our thanks to Lentz and Little. Our thanks to State Farm agent Wally Morgan. And so our thanks to Russell Johnson for his time today. That does it for the Soft Verbal Podcast. I'm Neil McCready. Until next week, take care.